Hey guys, I'm Andrea.
I'm Haley.
And you're listening to Inhuman, a true crime podcast.
I legit almost would have said the monster of Cleveland. I'm still in that mindset.
I know. I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, because I was mad that our email is still like Inhuman Monster, but like they're all monsters, so it's kind of fine. But I was like, dang it, I wish we could have had everything Inhuman Podcast. Inhuman Podcast.
I know.
So it's fine. Okay. It's fine. Okay. So today, Haley, I'm going to be covering the case of Mary Bell, who I thought was considered the youngest serial killer of all time, but she actually got that title taken from her in 2006 by a young man named Amar Deep Sada, who was eight. Yes. Okay. But Mary Bell was 10 and 11 when she committed her heinous crimes. And she was also known as the Tyneside Strangler. I'd never heard that, but that's something I read in some of the research that I did. So I just wanted to include that in case anyone knows her better as that.
By that,
randomly.
I can't imagine a 10-year-old being a strangler. Wow.
I know. It's crazy. It's like, it's
creepy.
Yeah. I'll just go ahead and give you like a huge trigger warning. This case does include child death. It includes mutilation. It includes a lot of really bad things. So just a blanketed trigger warning, but I will trigger again when I get closer to the details of the crimes. Because I did include those because they're kind of, I guess, important.
Yeah.
So Mary Bell was born on May 26, 1957 in Corbridge, United Kingdom. Her mother, Betty, was not the greatest person. She was only 17 when she had Mary, and Mary's father, Billy Bell, couldn't keep a job and had frequent run-ins with the law. So they were just very volatile together and on their own.
That's sad.
And yeah. So, you know, that always affects the kids, unfortunately. Right. But eventually they did divorce. Their marriage fell apart and Mary was left to be cared for by Betty. Betty reportedly would often leave Mary with family members. Just not really wanting to take responsibility for her child. And it's reported that one time she even tried to give Mary away to a random woman on the street.
Oh my gosh.
I know. This like poor little baby.
Yeah.
Which is just tragic because like, you know, you're supposed to have that maternal instinct, which I guess like it doesn't always come natural to most women, but
yeah,
she was just very selfish and like just wanted, I guess, her freedom. And she probably felt like some type of way because the dad had kind of relinquished all responsibility.
Right. It was sad.
I know. The home that Mary was raised in was filthy and it was run down. And the area that they lived in was not the best. It was actually referred to as like a traditional ghetto, like a, you know, like we say the ghetto now, but like it was a traditional ghetto, like from back in the day.
Right.
So as Mary grew from a toddler to a child, her behavior became very questionable. She was known to be a liar, a thief, and a troublemaker, which like, you know, that's what happens to kids. They, especially in that situation, they, you know, they act out, they rebel.
Yeah.
However, she was super smart. Like she was said to be well beyond her age mentally. And Norma was 2 years older than Mary. And the two were known throughout the neighborhood for being like hateful and bullying the other children, which I kind of feel like as we get more into the story, you'll see that Mary was kind of like influencing Norma to have that behavior. But obviously she had a little bit in herself anyway.
Right. Kids can like influence each other so much so easily though.
I know. Especially at this age. I mean, they're like 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, you know.
Right.
And there was even a report that Mary and Norma had been caught stealing money from a gas meter. I guess like it was like the honor system. So you would like put your money in like a little, you know, meter thing and then you could get the gas. So they just like took all the money out of the gas meters. And both girls were actually arrested.
Oh, wow.
Which is, like, crazy because they were, like, so young, but, you know.
Yeah.
That's kind of a big deal. The police asked Mary what happened, and Mary replied, no comment.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, at less than 10 years old, she was already smart enough to know not to implicate herself for the crime.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's pretty telling. That was kind of like the first sign that they had, like the police had kind of seen, like, okay, this little girl's, we got to keep our eye on her.
Right.
So around this time as well, it was reported that Betty, which was Mary's mother, had also began to work in as a sex worker. I'm sure she was like, you know, trying to make ends meet, or maybe she just, right. you know, whatever the situation was. And she would often bring strange men into the home with Mary there.
Ooh, that's not good.
Yeah. There's a lot of speculation that Betty would dose Mary with like sleeping pills or some kind of relaxant to make her sleep or pass out so she wouldn't be in the way or hear her having sex with random men that were coming into their home. And there was also some other reports that said that maybe she got the idea for some of her crimes from the acts that would go on between her mother and the men.
Oh,
which I thought
wow.
was kind of interesting. That's never been proven one way or another, but I just thought it was interesting to add that little tidbit in there.
Yeah.
There also are reports that Mary would voluntarily sneak and take the pills herself. Maybe to just numb the pain of her life, or maybe just to, I don't know really why she would do that, but there was some reports that she was doing that as well. So it was just a very volatile atmosphere for such a young, impressionable girl. Like, even though she was super smart, like, she's still 9 years old, and that's just not a healthy environment for a 9 year old.
No, not at all.
So as I mentioned before, Mary and Norma were known for being the neighborhood bullies. And it is stated that Mary and Norma were playing with a 3-year-old little boy, and they led him to the roof of a Newcastle air raid shelter, which I'm not exactly sure what that is. I probably should have looked it up, but I don't think it's super important.
Probably like literally what it sounds like, a shelter if there was an air raid. Like,
oh,
at that time, you know, like planes coming over.
Sometimes when things are super obvious, it's like right over my head.
Yeah. I feel like I only thought of that because my grandparents have talked about like stuff like that happening when wars were going on and stuff. So I feel like I put two and two together a little bit.
Okay. So they led him to the roof of this air raid shelter, and the boy accidentally fell from like one part of the roof to another part of the roof, and he had been severely injured. But the police were quick to rule this as an accident, and Mary and Nora were not further looked into, which I can see, you know, there's no witnesses to say right. that they pushed him or, you know, whatever. But again, this is just one more little notch for them to keep an eye on things.
Right.
Another incident, Mary attacked a girl in her class there. I guess they were on the playground. Her name was Pauline, and Mary began to strangle her.
Oh my
God. Which is like, yeah. Luckily, though, Norma saw this, and, you know, she saw that things were getting kind of out of hand, and she broke the two girls up, which I thought was good. You know, trying to be a good friend. She didn't want Mary to get in trouble.
Yeah, it sounds like Norma has a little bit, like,
more of a conscience.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But again, Mary was let off easy, and this incident was chalked up to a play yard fight or disagreement. Again, they're 9 years old, like, I don't know. The fact that she was strangling her, that would be a huge, like, red flag for me.
Right.
Like, as a teacher or a parent or the police or whatever, but, you know, she's 9.
I know. Like, I get that nobody wants to believe that, like, a young kid like that could be doing something, but it seems like at this point there's been a lot of different things happening, so you'd think that at least, like,
yeah.
maybe put her in therapy or something.
Right. But we have to remember this is the 50s.
Yeah,
or
true.
Maybe, actually, I guess it's the 60s by now.
Right. Okay.
Because she was born in 57. So, yeah, it's like the 60s by now. So there's not, you know, people don't go to therapy. There's no
right.
no one to talk to. Like, you know, you might be able to talk to your teacher or something like that. But sadly, there was just not any outlets for her to get help, really.
Yeah.
Plus, they were living in, like, a low-income area. Like, kids were kind of left to take care of themselves and fend for themselves. And
yeah. Okay. So, and yeah. It sounds like her mom wasn't super present either. So
no, she was not. She was not a good mom. It's kind of sad because, like, she was trying to pawn Mary off on, you know, relatives. And, like, I wish that that would have, like, happened, because then she may have had a better outcome. But then, like, she would come back and be like, no, I want her back. So it's, like, very, you know,
yeah,
that kind of damage for a child. Like, I don't want you. Oh, just kidding. I want you. I don't want you. I want you. And there are, like, some reports, which I'll get into a little bit later, that says that, like, her mom would, like, for lack of better terminology, like, pimp her out. Oh
my gosh.
And so it makes me wonder if, like, that's why her mom was like, never mind, I want her back, because, like, she's of value to me, which is, like, so fucked up for a mom to do that. But it happens.
Yeah. Wow.
So this last incident indicates to me an escalation, which is never a good sign in anyone, but especially a child. Anytime there's escalation, that usually means that they're getting more brave and more ballsy, and then they're going to do something worse.
Yeah.
So on May 25th, Mary is only 10 years old now. Two little boys were playing in an old abandoned house in the neighborhood, because there were several of those. And they were, I guess, like, slowly trying to clean up the neighborhood, but they just didn't have a lot of money to be able to do that. So there were still a lot of abandoned houses, and a lot of the kids would play in those houses. But these two little boys were playing in this old abandoned house, and they stumbled across the body of 4-year-old Martin Brown.
Oh my God.
So at first glance, there was no obvious sign of a cause of death. He had a little bit of blood around his mouth, but that could have, you know, been because he fell or choked on something, or, you know, whatever. So police again assumed it was an accident, and they actually at one point said that he might have died from fright, which I don't know why they thought that, but maybe because he was so young, and, like, they thought maybe he, like, got scared by something in the house and he just you know. And there was also an empty pill bottle close by, so they thought, like, maybe he had gotten his hands on the pills and consumed them and passed away from that. Yeah. And that could kind of, I guess, indicate, like, why there would be a little bit of blood around his mouth. I don't know. But there was not really any suspicion of foul play at the time. So in their mind, it was kind of, like, open and shut. No investigation was really needed.
Okay.
But it is good to note that Mary and Norma were seen walking into the house after the boy's body had been discovered, but they were told to leave by police.
Interesting.
Okay. So again, you know, keeping an eye on that, because, like, why were they there? You know, I mean, a lot of kids were around, but why did, but you know, still, why were they there?
Yeah. And on top of, like, all the other stuff that they've been a part of, like,
It's
a little sketchy.
Yeah. So to make matters worse, and to pour salt on an already big gaping open wound, Mary went to the home of Martin Brown, knocked on the door, and asked if she could see Martin. His mother replied, "Martin is dead," and Mary said, "I know, but I would like to see him." Martin's mother, of course, was devastated and made his father tell Mary to get off their property. And it's even rumored that after she asked to see Martin the first time and his mother replied that he was deceased, she asked to see him in his coffin, implying that she thought he was there in the coffin, which to me kind of says, like, she really had no concept of what happens after death.
Yeah.
Like, she, you know, she's said to be this, like, really smart, educated girl, but at the end of the day, she's just 10 years old, you know?
That's true, yeah.
But there's one thing that we cannot deny, and that she is very cruel, because she had to have known that that would affect his mother in some way, to ask to see his body. So a few months later, a local nursery was broken into and vandalized. It was then and there they found some letters, almost like confession letters, confessing to killing Martin Brown.
Oh, wow.
One letter stated, "I murder so I can come back," which we don't know what that means, but
okay.
Another said, We did murder Martin Brown. Fuck off, you bastard.
Oh my god.
And a third said, fuck off, we murder, watch out, Fanny and faggot. Which I don't really know what that, I mean, I know what the derogatory word means, and like I know what Fanny can mean, but I'm not really sure like what context they were trying to get across there. And there was a lot of like misspelling, so they, you know, assumed that they were written by children or that they were like some kind of joke, but they also were accompanied with some explicit drawings. And oh, wow. One of the drawings depicted a young boy in the same position that Martin had been found in. So because of that alone, they took that into consideration and they decided to keep that as possible evidence. And they started to kind of suspect that maybe whoever did this could be responsible for Martin's death, and maybe his death was not an accident.
Wow, good for them.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, took you long enough, but yeah, at least they're like starting to, yeah, put some pieces together.
Yeah.
So the nursery, after the incident, they had installed an alarm just in case the perpetrators decided to come back. And just as they suspected, they returned. Mary and Norma were caught, and Mary denied that they had ever been there before. But once again, no charges were brought forth. Why? So I guess they got away with a slap on the wrist. The only thing I can think is because they're so young. Yeah. Because you're like, there's no way that this 10-year-old little girl killed this 4-year-old little boy.
Yeah.
You know, like you just, like you said at the very beginning, like you can't even imagine a 10-year-old being a strangler or like strangler. But like,
yeah, I guess that kind of makes sense.
They were thinking. Yeah. That's probably what they were thinking too.
Wow.
So it had been a couple of months since the first attack on Martin. And it was July 31st, 1968. And I'm going to go ahead and give you that other trigger warning, because this part is a little bit more explicit and gory and just triggering. A 3-year-old little boy named Brian Howell went missing. He was last seen in front of his home playing. And it's reported that Mary and Norma were also seen there at one point in time, playing with this little boy and one of his siblings. So Brian was found strangled. He had several puncture wounds on his body. His hair had been cut, and it appeared that someone had carved the letter M into his abdomen, and his genitals had been mutilated. Yeah. And this was like super, like I had already heard this story before, but it was like super hard for me to like reread that, especially because I have a 3-year-old little boy, and like just the thought of that being him like was just heartbreaking, and I just like feel for that mother, especially because that's a big escalation, you know, to do all of that. Police immediately launched an investigation, and like I said before, had opened up the case of Martin Brown too, since the deaths were so close together. And both the boys were so young, it kind of seemed like the same, you know, MO.
Right.
And they, you know, were all in the same area. So police were finally starting to hone in on Mary and Norma. Both girls had denied any involvement and started accusing other boys in the neighborhood for these heinous crimes. But because police knew that Mary and Norma had written the letter, because they were the ones who broke into the nursery.
Right.
And they were both seen with or around the crime scenes of both boys. They were finally able to charge them with the crime.
Wow.
With both crimes. Which is like, yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's always obvious to us when we're like reading it, because we know like what happens, or like, you know, it just makes more sense. But I guess like when you're in it, you might not see the big giant red flags. But
yeah.
So evidently when they charged Mary, she said, that's all right by me. So
Red flag.
This little girl is just like, yeah, she just, I mean, like they said, she's mature beyond her years, it seems like, and kind of like the no emotion, like sociopathy, you know, or psychopathy, I guess is how you say it. So the trial started in December of 1968. They realized right away that these girls needed help and not just to be punished, which is very true of a child, you know.
Yeah.
Just sending them off to jail is not always the best, like, punishment, I guess.
Yeah.
A child killing another child is very disturbing and psychologically abnormal. It was found out that Norma was the one who had written the letters.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. I found that interesting, too, because I was like, okay. Because I was thinking, like, for sure it was Mary, you know?
Yeah.
But it seemed that Mary was the one who did the actual killings.
Okay.
The carving in Brian's stomach seemed to have originally been an N that was turned into an M. So there is speculation that maybe Norma started to carve her initial into his stomach, but then Mary either got jealous because she wanted the, you know, quote unquote credit for the murder because she actually is the one who strangled him.
Yeah.
So she turned it into an M. Surprisingly, Norma was found not guilty due to the fact that she seemed confused and not mentally competent.
Okay.
It also appeared that she may have been coerced into helping with these crimes and not fully understanding exactly what they had done, which, like I said before.
Okay, so I could see that.
Yeah, like I fully believe that she knew that they were, like, unless she had some kind of, like, mental disability or something like that. It's never stated that she actually, like, you know, was diagnosed with something like that.
Right.
But she was a little older than Norma, and she just wasn't, I guess, as smart and, like they said, as mentally competent. So they let her go.
Wow.
Which, I mean, I kind of feel like she deserved a little bit of something because obviously she was involved.
Yeah, she was still involved in something.
Right. However, 11-year-old Mary was not as lucky. She was convicted of 2 counts of manslaughter, and she was sent to Redwood, which is a juvenile facility. The court-appointed psychiatrist described Mary as displaying classic symptoms of psychopathy, which we can already tell that was what was going on there. Just the fact that she was, like, null and void of, you know, guilt or anything like that.
Yeah.
She was only sentenced to 12 years, which, I don't know, it's hard for me because I'm like, she's 11, like, you know, but it's also like the United Kingdom in the 60s. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe things are just different.
But still, it's like the bathtub girls that you covered, and they were sentenced to like 5 years. But that was like, it was like one targeted kill. And this is like clearly more than that. It's not just like, they had somebody where they were like, I want to kill this person. It's like, it was a pattern.
Yeah. And she would have killed more people if she would not have gotten caught. I fully believe that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, I think, like, I don't know. I think it should have been more time for sure.
I do too. I think it should have been longer, but I understand why they did the smaller time just because, like, the shorter time period because she was a child, but I mean, 12 years, she was still, like, barely an adult when she got let out.
Yeah.
It's reported that while Mary was locked away, her mother sold stories about her to the press and gave them writings that were supposedly written by Mary. Wow. Which is, like, just so, again, just so fucked up and just proving further, like, what a piece of shit her mom was.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why I do believe, like, some of the, you know, reports about her, like, possibly like exploiting her for money, you know, whatever. It's just, I mean, that's basically what she was doing here too.
Yeah, I definitely think that her mom played a big part in the person she became and fucked up her childhood basically.
Yeah. So I found myself, you know, I have a degree in psychology, so of course I was asking myself, like, why would Mary do the things that she did? Was it a classic case of nature versus nurture, you know, because of how she was treated and raised by her mother, you know, claiming that she was physically and sexually abused as a child, which doesn't give her like a free pass, of course. Lots of people are abused and they don't go on to murder people. Like, we always say that. But when you're like from the very beginning, like from birth, she was neglected. She was given away and taken back, given away and taken back. Like, that does so much damage to a child.
Yeah.
And I fully believe that her mother was to blame for why she did the things that she did, because she was not an adult. She was not, yes, she knew, like, quote unquote, right from wrong, but she was still a child and did not even understand, like, what happens to a body after it dies. Like, you bury it in the ground. They're not just hanging out in the house with you forever, yeah. You know?
She's, I feel like she's not even close to being an adult. Like, maybe 13, no. 14, you're like, okay, maybe they have a little more sense, but she's not. And I definitely feel yeah. like it's, I mean, I'm sure there was some nature in her that,
yeah,
that was going to do this, but I definitely think this was mostly nurture.
Yeah, I do too. I think that's why the court, like, took it into consideration when they, you know, gave her her sentence, was for that right. reason.
But I feel like it should have been like
20 years,
yeah. but with, like, the possibility of parole in 10 years or something like that. Like,
or like lifetime parole.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like, to see yeah. if she was actually transformed. Because as much as it's sad that, like, she was affected by her mother, it's still, she still did this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And had the craving and the wanting to do it again.
Right.
And it escalated. Exactly. Like, it, each time it escalated. Like, first it was the little boy that fell off the roof. Then it was the little boy who she strangled and,
yeah.
you know, they thought it was an accident. And then it was, like, all the mutilation and, you know, more violent yeah. each time. So, so Mary wow. was let out of prison when she was 23 years old. She was granted anonymity. I always want to say, I don't know what I want to say, but that's not the word I want to say when I read that. Which, if you don't know, is basically like a new start, a new life. They, like,
wow.
they make all your information private, like your address. They can't find you, you know, all the things.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is, like, you know, if you really are reformed and you're trying to start a exactly. new life, like, I agree with that.
Yeah.
She actually went on to have a daughter of her own in 1984.
Wow.
And Mary went on to fight for her daughter's anonymity as well, because until reporters found out her location, her daughter had no idea about her mother's past, but she got exposed, which I don't know. Like, I don't know if I could tell my kid that either, but it's kind right. of like one of those things, once they come of a certain age, they should probably know that you, like, murder two people.
Yeah.
Two children.
Well, I feel like it's also, like, it depends. I don't think that it was fair that that she had to find out like that. Like,
yeah.
I think Mary should have told her at some point, but
yeah.
And, you know, if Mary really is trying to start over and is a good person now, like, it sucks that, you know, that had to
follow her around.
But at the same time, you did it. Yeah. So.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of how I feel too. It's like, you did it. Like, yeah, okay, your privacy should be, you know, so people don't, like, stalk you and try to kill you.
Yeah.
But you're still responsible for your actions. And unfortunately, the consequences of your actions will follow you for the rest of your life.
Yeah. And you got pretty damn lucky with only being in jail for 12 years and getting out and having anonymity as much as you can and stuff like that. So I yep. would say it's pretty fair.
Exactly. So they went to court and their anonymity was further granted and the Mary Bell order was officially started, which protects victims and, you know, people who commit these crimes, their anonymity until their dying day, which...
Wow.
I mean, again, people can still figure stuff out, especially in today's day and age. Like, there's yeah. so much stuff you can find out on the internet. In 2009, it's also reported that Mary became a grandmother. So,
aww.
From all accounts, did Mary go on to live a normal life? It seems that she did. She did have a couple of run-ins with the law after her release from prison, but for smaller crimes, such as, like, petty theft. But there's one thing that we know for certain, and that's that Martin and Brian's family and loved ones will not go on to have normal lives. They will never see their sons, grandsons, and brothers have children or grandchildren like Mary has had the opportunity to do. And that is the case of one of UK's most notorious child murders, because there is more than one, Mary wow. Bell. Yeah.
Wow.
So
that's so yeah. it's so heartbreaking. I mean, for the victims, of course, and also for her. Like, I don't feel bad for the her that did it.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, it's, you know,
it is sad because she was so young. Like you said, if she was like 13, 14, 15, I probably, like, would not feel bad for her at all. But just thinking back to when I was like 9, 10, 11, like, you know nothing. Like, you're just like this little creature that's just like you don't even know how to take care of yourself. And like, she was forced to take care of herself. She had like the worst mom. Like, her dad ran out on her. I guess she had some other family members, but I don't know how involved they were allowed to be in her life. And it's just, it's very tragic. But again, it doesn't excuse her killing two innocent little babies. Like, they were literally 4 and 3 years old. Like, they did not deserve for their life to be cut so short.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's very hard, but, you know, it's never like black and white. It's always, there's always lots of gray area when it comes to cases like this. So
very true.
But that is my case for this week. I'm not going to say I hope you enjoyed it, because no one should enjoy it, but I hope you learned something new and maybe learned about a new prolific serial killer that you may not have known about.
And I hope you like found it
interesting, psychologically interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know I sure did. I was like, I'm always torn, like, should I dive into the psychology of all these people? But then I would probably be here for another like 30 minutes. And I mean, today, I guess, like, well, we don't really have time for it today, but, you know, other times we may have time for it. But I was like, nah, I'll just stick to the case. I dove into it a little bit.
Yeah.
It's so interesting to me. Like, that's a big thing, a big passion of mine, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. No, you should. Whenever you want to, do it.
I will definitely be posting, obviously I will not post anything that's graphic on Instagram, but I will be posting pictures from the case. Like, she was so tiny and cute, like, when she was little. It's so sad that you can't even imagine her doing this.
Right.
But make sure you're following us over on Instagram at @inhumanpodcast_podcast, excuse me. And we always say this, but make sure you rate and review us on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. I don't think you can... Can you rate on Spotify?
I don't think so, but you can, like, follow us so that you'll be, like, notified.
Subscribe to us, follow us. All that helps us get pushed out more and helps us reach more people. And that's why we're here.
Yep.
And we just want to thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Until then, keep it human.
Bye.